Hello, horror fiends, and welcome back to Guess What You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive deep into all things spooky, scary, and downright wrong. It's that time of year again, folks. The spooky season is upon us. And this year, we're sinking our teeth into the ultimate in vampire horror. No shimmering, sparkly, love-struck vampires here, though. Just bloodthirsty, terrifying creatures of the night. So get ready to be terrified, amused, and maybe even a little bit enlightened as we explore the good, the bad, and the downright ugly of the vampire horror genre. So buckle up, bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned.
Ben Mears has been away too long, and now at last he's come home.
I'm in Quadric Valley Forge.
Daddy, come back safe.
Home to the childhood memories, to the old familiar faces, to a life unmolested by time.
And with your saints, let him rejoice in your presence forever. We ask it through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Home to Salem's Lot, a town too good to be true.
What was that?
Did you happen to notice the time when the boys left?
We shouldn't have gone through the woods.
It's a shortcut.
Then they should have been here half an hour ago.
Wait, Danny, wait!
Something is happening. Something terrible.
Henry! Where's Ralphie?
Ralph. Where's your brother?
Unless the kid disappears, then this. You're not leaving Salem's Lot, are you?
I'm not leaving. Don't you understand what's happening?
You?
Yes, I do. It's in the Marston house.
Good evening.
I dreamed.
You slept there all night?
Yeah. A little tired. Didn't sleep much last night. I was dreaming.
Somebody out there.
Sweet, sweet dreams.
I let him in.
Well, it's only all just happened since...
Since I came here.
It wasn't a dream.
Stop, holy man! You can do nothing against the master.
They're breeding on one another. The vampires are creating vampires.
The monster wants you.
It's a geometric progression. 2 × 2 × 4 × 8.
There's a dead man upstairs.
Bill! Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Look at me. Ned Tebbett's body has disappeared from the morgue.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Bill!
And Susan's in there. Run! No! Look at him!
Stephen King, the best-selling author of Carrie and The Shining, takes you on a startling journey to Salem's Lot.
Welcome back to another big-ass head and long tooth having episode of Guess What You're Wrong. Now, today, before actually we get into the episode here, I want to go over a little bit of housekeeping, which I forgot to do on the last episode with Joel. If you haven't checked that out, Gilman Joel from the Retro Movie Geek Podcast and Mom and Pop Video Shop on the YouTubes. Check it out. But we are in the spooky season now. October is here. It's a great month. Now, this year, we are tackling vampire horror. So for the month of October, all we are going to be spitting out is vampire horror. I have a bunch of other stuff on the burner that I've been working on, but October is vampire horror, baby. So they're going to have to wait. But if you checked out the last episode with Joel with Near Dark, excellent movie, dude. Check out the episode. It's good stuff. And Joel's just cool, man. That bald head. but today, I'm going to dive into Salem's Lot from 1979. Now, this movie, dude, I'm telling you, it has David Soul as Ben Mears, James Mason, who plays Richard Straker. We'll call him Dick Straker. Yeah, call him Dick instead of Richard. That's about right. Bonnie Bedelia as Susan Norton. Bonnie Bedelia, baby. Whew. Lance Kerwin as Mark. The lovely Julie Cobb as Bonnie Sawyer. Oh, man. George Zunzaza as Cully Sawyer. They got a big old thing in there, along with Fred Willer, who plays Larry Crockett. Those three there. Clarissa K. Mason, who plays Marjorie Glick, the Glick's mom. And who was the other ones that played there? Danny Glick was played by Brad Savage. Ralphie Glick, played by Ronnie Schreibner. Now, what's the master's name? What they say his name is Barlow, right? That's the guy that Straker and Barlow, I think, are in, you know, opening up an antique shop up in there. Now, the movie, it's a made for TV movie based off of it's a miniseries. It's not really a movie. But it's based off of the novel by Stephen King called Salem's Lot, which I've never read. I have the audio on Audible. I just haven't listened to it yet either. So, but this one, it opens up at a church in Guatemala. It's a Catholic church. Ben and Mark, we're introduced to them in this scene. And then throughout the movie, because this is a kind of like a time thing, it starts off in the future or the current. And they're filling small bottles of holy water in this church. And one of them starts glowing and they're like, they found us again. Shit. But then we go back 2 years. Ben Mears is a successful author and he's returned to Salem's Lot after being gone for a long while to, excuse me. He wants to write a book on the Marston House, which is this old house that sits up on a hilltop. Big, huge, creepy, ominous property. It just sits up there. And at the beginning of the episode, or when it starts, you see him. He pulls up, and he's just sitting there staring at the Marston House. And it's just kind of like, dude, the house looks cool as fuck, though. It does looks kind of neat. It does definitely does look like it would be haunted, though. But I'd spend the night there. Oh, yeah. Now, Mears, as he comes into town, he finds out that the property has already been rented out or purchased, you know, by the mysterious Dick Straker, who's in the process of opening up an antique shop and has often mentioned but never seen or rarely seen business partner Kurt Barlow. Now, Mears moves into a boarding house in town that's run by Ava Miller and develops this romantic relationship. Now, Ava Miller, who plays Ava Miller? Let me see. Don't I even have that here? I got to be able to find Ava Miller, right? Yeah, Ava Miller, played by Marie Windsor. Nice, nice, nice. I got that messed up. He stays in a boarding house that's run by Ava Miller and develops a relationship with a local woman, Susan Norton, Susan Norton, is played by Bonnie Bedelia. Damn, this movie. So much. One thing I got to say is, when you go into a movie, you think it's a vampire movie. In this made for TV film here, there's so many side stories that go on, and they play in well, I think, because you know it goes to show what this town is coming to, since good old Dick and what's his nuts partner have moved into town. So, you know, there's this scene with, what were their names now? Cully Sawyer and his wife, who was, I just said her name too, Julie Cobb, who played Bonnie Sawyer. Now, Cully is this, I don't know, he's a delivery driver or mover or some shit like that. So, and Julie Cobb works at, I guess, a real estate place. Now Cully is always lovey-lovey on his wife. Like, you know, she is like the prize. And he's like very jealous. He's like one of those guys that, and now, well, in this, he has a right to be in this one because some shit happens. But, you know, that whole storyline with the Sawyers and Fred Willard, who plays Larry Crockett, Julie Cobb and Fred Willard work in the office together. And Cully is always coming in there being like, oh, yeah, I love you, honey. I love you. I love you. And telling, you know, he ends up telling at one point, telling Fred or Larry Crockett to stay away from my wife. You know, I love her so much. She means everything in the world to me. And well, it turns out that Bonnie and Larry are having an affair, you know, doing the little in the back. So they had set up this. Cully is a delivery driver. So they set up Richard Straker, Dick Straker, has a shipment that he needs picked up and delivered to the house, the Marsden house. So, of course, they send Cully off to do it. And they say it's going to take him some time because he's got to get there. It's going to be gone all night or whatever. And then this is the scene where Bonnie and Larry get a little bit of freaky deaky going on because Cully's out of town. But Cully had suspected something all along, and he actually has two other guys, of which it's just, I think it's, yeah, Jeffrey Lewis. He's one of them. And I don't remember the other guy's name, but they are the ones that actually go up and pick up this package while Cully stays behind so he can catch his wife and his wife's boss in the act. And that he does. And that plays out. That plays out interestingly, I'll say. But that's just one of the side stories that we see that take place. While in the long run, they're telling the story about, you know, Ben Mears in the town writing this book and the things that he's experiencing. Now, there's so much here. Mears talks to Burke and tells it feels the Marsden house is inherit. It's just it's evil. And recalling, they tell a story about the original order. Oh, son of a cocksucker! I can't talk. they tell a story about the original owner, Hubie Marsden, implied that he could have been a child molester. That he committed suicide there, you know, and Mears further recalls a traumatic childhood incident, blah, 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 going on with Hubie's ghost. So, and this is when we come up to this part here where there's a large crate that's delivered to the Marsden house. And as they go to pick up this crate, it's cold. You know, they're loading it up into the truck and it's cold. And as they're driving along, you know, they can look in the rear view and they see this huge crate just like creeping forward on them. It's like moving forward towards the cab, but eventually they dump off the damn crate and they're like, "See ya, motherfucker." But
So this crate gets delivered to the house, and suddenly townspeople began to disappear under strange circumstances or die under strange circumstances, blah, blah, blah. Mears and Straker are the main suspect. Ben Mears, who just came back into town, you know, the author, and Straker, because he's new in town as well. Main suspects. But, you know, and eventually it becomes very clear that the crate actually contained Straker's business partner, Kurt Barlow. Who played Kurt Barlow? Do we have that here? Let me see. Ouch. I don't even know who the fuck played Kurt Barlow. They're going to have it listed here. I don't even know if they have... I don't even see it listed. Kurt? Hello? Hello, Kurt Barlow. Kurt Barlow uncredited. Reggie Nalder? Oh, he's uncredited, huh? But yeah, he played Kurt Barlow. So yeah, that's what... He's in the crate. So he's like the head honcho, the master vampire. Shows up in the town. Kids start going missing, and they have this scene, you know, first one, Ralphie Glick, they have, the Glicks are over at, Mark's house. They're studying some lines or something, some play or something like that. But the Glick brothers have to go home because it's starting to get late. They decide to take a shortcut out through the woods. Big mistake. Ralphie gets gotten, you know, he gets taken away. Danny Glick, is that his name? Danny Glick? I believe that's it, right? Let me make sure. Yeah, Danny Glick. He makes it home, but he's kind of fucked up. You know, some shit happened. Oh, you know, and this is where we get this. To me, these scenes with the kids as vampires are iconic. You know, when you see like Ralphie coming to his brother's, Danny Glick's, bedroom window, and you see him looking out the window, and it's foggy and foggy, and you see these little eyes coming up, and then you see this creepy ass little vampire kid wanting to get into the house. So, you know, Danny opens the window for his brother, right? My brother, dude, come on in. We've worried shit sick about you. Well, now Danny gets gotten, gets his blood sucked out of him. But he doesn't get killed, and I don't think he gets turned right here because he's not dead yet. But they take him to the doctors because he's got some issues, and they say that he's got some kind of anemia or something like that, which is like, now the town, they don't believe in the vampire thing. They don't know anything about the vampires. They're just saying, you know, this kid came in, he's sick. His body cannot produce blood like it needs. So he has some kind of anemia, they call it. But Ben Mears, my phone is blowing up over here, yo. Nobody important. But Ben and Susan have been doing research, we'll say. And it becomes apparent that something is up. You know, because the Glick boy returned, he claimed his brother, Danny. Now, after Danny's funeral, because he eventually ends up dying. And now after his funeral, the undead Danny infects the gravedigger, Mike Ryerson. Mike Ryerson played by Jeffrey Lewis. And if you see his face, you know who he is, because he's been in a lot of stuff. And he attempts to prey on one of the school friends. Now, yeah, I'm Mark. And this is that iconic scene. Mark is a horror freak. You know, he's got all the horror stuff in his house, and he's got posters and masks and, you know, dioramas and that kind of stuff. And this scene here, I remember, it's just so creepy, because you have Danny Glick coming to the window, scratching. Let me in. And he calls out, Mike, let me in. And that scene, dude, it's just fucking creepy. I'm gonna see if I can even find that and throw that sound in here, because it's just, it's
it's, I can hear the sound in my head. You know, let me see. Danny Glick scratch. I don't even think they're going to have it. Yeah, here it is. Listen. Check it out. See, Max is asleep here. And the music is... You hear that music? Hear that? Listen. Ooh! I mean, you got this strange kid just floating at the window, scratching at the glass. You know, oh, dude. And Mike's like, hey, dude, I'm happy to see you, dude. Wait, this is not even Mike. This is Danny. This is, ow, I got the wrong one. This is actually when Ralphie comes to get Danny. So this one here is actually when, boy, I got videos up the ass. Mark is laying in bed, and he's looking out his window here, and you can see Danny Glick floating up through the fog and everything. It's just creepy looking, too, dude. It's a good scene. And as Danny Glick comes into focus, you can see him more. The fog kind of disappears. Look at that. Now there's even more fog and it's disappearing more. Here we go.
Open the window.
Open the window.
Open the window, Mark.
Open the window, Mark. Open the window, Mark. Please. Let me in. It's okay, Mark. I'm a friend. He commands it. Yeah, there it is. He's getting ready to open the door. And that's the iconic scene there that I can remember today. You know, and that scene of, you know, let me in, Mark, open the door, open. But then, of course, Danny or Mark has a cross. He pulls off one of his diorama things and pops it up, scares the fucker away. He's gone, baby. So, I mean, that whole scene there is just, just awesome, dude. Now, vampirism is spreading throughout Salem's Lot. Now, Burke and Dr. Norton gradually realize what's happening in the town, and they try to stop it. Ooh. Mears is attacked by Ralphie. Every time I say Ralphie, I think of A Christmas Story. and Danny's presumed dead mother, Marjorie Glick. Oh, that whole scene there. Marjorie's dead, and she's laying on the slab, and Bonnie Bedelia, and I can't remember her name now. Shit. All these names coming back and forth. Susan Norton, Susan and Ben Mears are checking out this body here, and she rises, freaking out. They get attacked by the mom, right? But Mears defends himself by making a makeshift cross out of tongue depressors. Fucking brilliant, you know, make some crosses. Mark's parents, they both get killed. Well, God bless it. Mark's parents are both killed by Barlow. Mark escapes, and last night I just watched the new version of this. We'll go to that here in a second. And I'm kind of mixing them up a little bit, but Mark escapes with the assistance of a local priest, Burke. However, he suffers a severe heart attack following an encounter with the vampire Ryerson. Jeez, coughing. The gravedigger. Now, Mark wants revenge for his parents' death, obviously. Mark knows what's going on, and he wants to put an end to it. Now, Mears breaks into the Marsden house, and Susan follows him inside. Now, they're both captured by
by Dick Straker. Dick Straker, not Richard. And Mears and Ducks. Straker kills Norton by impaling him on. Hold on a second. Norton. Yeah, Dr. Norton. That's right. Straker, Dick Straker, kills the doc, the good doc, by impaling him on a pair of, I don't know, antlers from a, I don't know, gazelle or some shit like that. But Mears and Free, oh man, and Mark, they find Barlow's coffin in the cellar. I didn't bring no water. All I have here is liquor. Bottoms up. Get a little dry, you know. It's not too bad. Okay, so where were we at? No. All right. Okay, they find Barlow's coffin in a cellar and destroy Barlow by driving a stake through his heart. I don't know. That's okay. I don't think that's how we're missing this part here. There's a scene. I can't remember the scene where they're in a house. Oh, this is earlier. This is earlier. Okay. Yeah. And then where Dick Straker and Barlow show up at the house and they're like, this is the master. And this is the first time we actually see, the vampire, the master vampire, and he's like some Nosferatu looking big ass head and bald and teeth coming all down, fangs and shit. Looking creepy, looking kind of fucked up, looking like. But, you know, they kill Barlow. I'm kind of skipping around here. I know I'm trying to remember the movie in my head as I'm reading my notes. Fun times. Now they're fleeing the other, after they kill Barlow. They're fleeing other vampires in the house who turns out, you know, it's the infected townspeople. Now they set the house, the Marsden house, on fire and they head toward town. Now, what's his name again? Mears. God bless it. I just put his on here. So, you know, Mears and Mark, they drive away from Salem's Lot. And they comment that, you know, they make a comment that the fire is going to kill all the vampires that are hiding in that place and purify that town from evil. Okay. Good thoughts there. Now, the story at this point here returns to Mears and Mark in that church in Guatemala. It's 2 years later that we saw at the beginning of the movie. It becomes clear that they're on the run from surviving vampires from Salem's Lot. They're being tracked down. Now, in their bottles of holy water, they start to glow whenever a vampire comes near. We won't get into that here yet. Hold on. Now, Mears and Mark, you know, get all up other stuff and get ready to head out. But then Mears finds Susan, Bonnie Bedelia, lying on his bed. And she's now a vampire. She prepares to bite him. And he leans down to kiss her. I mean, who wouldn't want to kiss Bonnie Bedelia, right? Come on. But instead, Mears kills her, drives a stake through her heart, and destroys her. Now, grief-stricken Mears then leaves with Mark, knowing that the vampire is going to continue to pursue him. And that's it. I mean, that's that movie. There's so many other things that I know I'm forgetting a lot about this movie. And I guarantee you, after I'm done recording this, I'm going to think, damn it, I should have said this. One thing is that I neglected to say that it's man, I need to learn how to fucking talk. Directed by Tobe Hooper. That's right. Tobe Hooper from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So, boy, this movie. All in all, let me see if I can get it. So we close out the journey here with Salem's Lot and Mears and Mark. And we're left thinking, I'm left thinking about the 70s and how this, even watching it today, it's still creepy. And it's, to me, I think it still holds up well. You still have the creep factor, you know, the vampire, the master is still scary as fuck when you look, when you see him. And the sounds, the music, the things that happen, I think it still holds up to me. This is one of those movies that I had a lot of nostalgia for, that I really, really had good memories of. And I was really surprised when I rewatched it again that it held up and it was still good and I still enjoyed it. I'm actually probably going to watch it again here in a couple days because I want my son to watch it, my younger one. But I'd like to hear if anybody's got any thoughts on Salem's Lot, you know, email me, send me some messages, hit me up on Facebook or the YouTubes. I'd like to hear your views on Salem's Lot. And if you read the book, the differences of the book and stuff, I have no idea. I've never read the book, so I don't know. But I enjoyed this episode or this movie. Now, I know that there's a couple other, let me see, what else was there? There was a Salem's Lot that was made in with Rob Lowe, I guess. When was this? 2004. I never saw that one. I'm gonna have to watch that one. But what I did watch last night was, there's also a Return to Salem's Lot, which, when did that come out? I remember seeing this one. That came out in 87. I just watched that too because I need to get all these down. But I did watch the new Salem's Lot that's on Max right now. Came out this year. I tried to watch that movie, not comparing it to the original, the one that I love from 79. That's hard to do. Because I like the characters and the character development from the first movie, the original from 79. In this movie, I've been waiting for this movie to come out for some time because I really wanted to see it. I love the Salem's Lot movie. So I really wanted to see what they could do with it. I don't know that it plays. It doesn't play, and to me, it doesn't play anywhere near as good as the original from 79. Instead of having the holy water that glows, they have crosses. Crosses start to glow whenever there's a vampire nearby. Now, again, I have not read the book. I don't know which one is more accurate to the book, but I will listen to the book because I got the audio. But I don't know. I'm not. As a remake of Salem's Lot, I'm not sure this one hit the spots where it didn't. Now, if it was just a vampire flick that you're watching with some kids, that kind of like, you know, Stranger Things-esque, you know, kids come out and, well, one kid comes out and is badass, Mark. That's kind of cool, that storyline with that. But I just think this as a remake to Salem's Lot, it just didn't do too well for me. I mean, you can disagree if you want to, but, you know, guess what? You're wrong. But that's it. That's it for Salem's Lot from 1979. That's all I got for you. I'm going to be actually, you know what? I may actually dive deep into, maybe I'll watch that Salem's Lot from 2004 and see, and Return to Salem's Lot. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe I'll do an episode on those two, Return and 2004, and I'll do another episode of that coming up. Possibly, because I already watched Salem's Lot and then a remake from this year. The cast of the remake is, that's okay. I mean, the acting's good. You know, the effects are decent and stuff like that. I just think that the original was just so much better. It holds up so much better as well. You know, this remake is not, it's a good vampire movie, a good vampire story. It's just not a good Salem's Lot, in my opinion. Because I know what they were trying to shoot for, because I saw the original movie, and they didn't get it. Now, I don't know, again, I haven't read the book, so I don't know which one's more accurate to the book. But there are some differences in the new one. Some differences kind of irritated me a little bit, especially, you know, with the graveyard scene and the Danny at the window of Mark, they changed things around. And I just like the original one better. It's my opinion. You know, everybody's opinions are like assholes, right? Everybody's got one. But my opinion is what matters. But that's it. That's all I got for you here. Salem's Lot from 1979. Check it out. If you haven't seen it yet, you better go watch it because it's a good fucking movie. And check out my previous episode with Joel, Gilman Joel from the Retro Movie Geek Podcast and Mom and Pop Video Shop on the YouTubes. Near Dark. That's a good movie too, baby. Next episode coming up is going to be Interview with a Vampire. And then after that, we have Lost Boys. That's right, baby. Check it out. Everybody out there, until next time, sweet dreams, love, peace, and chicken grease.
And that's gonna do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tanner.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night and God bless America.